Praise the name of Jesus. Are you all having a good Sunday today? Yes. All right. Since we've taken care of business and the children are being taken care of by the teachers, I'd like us to take a moment to have a self-reflection. Self-reflection is when you look at yourself inside out. You know, you want to examine yourself. And as we do that, we see the person, the real person that we are. That's when we see the real us. But when the kids are there, when there is all that noise, not necessarily from the children, but from the things that we are doing, it's hard to know or to see who we are. So I invite you to have a moment of just a self-reflection to find out who am I really, you know, and what is it that I believe in? What is this Christian message that we talk about? What does it really mean to me? What does it really mean to be a Christian? What does it really mean for me to be who I am? And today being, I want to do the service a little bit different. I want it to be more interactive in a way that you can be able to reflect and think about yourself as I think about myself. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on. Cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged exchange it someday for a crown on a hill far away. Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering. And best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last die.
Second verse to that song, Lorraine, if we can. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy is at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of us shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection shame, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Hallelujah!
When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, called up yonder, I'll be there.
Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we just want to thank you. God, we give you praise, we give you honor. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. The cross made a difference for us. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Don't go anywhere, guys. The Christian message is all about the love of God. And this mic is giving me a feedback. And where this love abides, there's forgiveness. There's tolerance. There's deliverance. There is change. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who do not believe, to those that are perishing. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The cross has a face of brutality, a face of punishment, a face of pain, a face of anguish. The cross has a face of oppression, a face of ridicule, a face of shame, a face of rejection. But there is also another face of the cross. This cross does not have the power to hold you down to your shame. It has no power to hold you down to the power to your rejection. It has no power to hold you to your oppression and pain and anguish. The preaching of the cross is not about Jesus hanging helplessly on the cross, but about his triumphant resurrection and ascension up to glory. The preaching of the cross is not about Jesus helplessly knocking on the stone from the tomb to allow the sentry out. It is about Jesus Christ resurrecting and raising from the dead. The preaching of the cross is about Jesus overcoming death by resurrecting and ascending up in glory, from where he shall return and where he shall call us and to join him up in yonder. Jesus is no longer in the grave, friends. He arose. He did not stay in that state of death and defeat, the state of ridicule, physical and emotional pain. He arose. This is the foundation of the Christian message, and it does not change. From generation to generation, the message remains the same. It is a message of hope. It is a message loaded with forgiveness and deliverance. It is a message full of love and care and hospitality. If we as a church do not care for one another, we have missed the mark. If we wrong each other and fail to seek or advance forgiveness to one another, we have missed the mark. If we are comfortable looking at those we know, people we have associated with, hanging helplessly from their cross in anguish and in pain, we have missed the mark. This Christian message does not change. It is about love. It is about forgiveness. It is about hope. Many Christian communities have changed these messages so that in place of the cross, they place Benjamin Franklin. In place of preaching the cross, they preach the success stories of Thomas Edison, Walt Disney, Michael Dell, and the like. We cannot change the Christian message to please our ego and our bank accounts. If your worth in the community of faith is how much you give, if we value you here at Empowerment Christian Center because of the check you write, if what you give is pegged to what the community of faith can do for you when you are in need, if our community of faith condones sin, then I tell you, we are people to be most pitied. If we don't preach death and the resurrection, then the death of Christ Jesus on the cross was in vain. If we don't preach healing to the brokenhearted and deliverance to the captives, if we don't preach recovery of sight to the blind and the setting of the captives free, then Jesus died in vain, beloved. Amen. Where does this leave us? Our hope is in Christ alone. Amen. As a church, we must not be where we would like to be. We would like to be much better. We would like to see all those seats that are empty next to you filled up. We would like to see more people. We'd like to see more classrooms. We'd like to see a better house of worship. But it is not. But that will not change the message of the cross. What should not stop us is seeking Christ. That we must continue seeking Christ regardless of what happens. Regardless of what is going on in your life. Regardless of how downtrodden you may be feeling. Regardless of how many things in your life are not working out. It should not stop you from seeking the message of the cross. The message of the cross, there is hope. The message of the cross, there is deliverance. The message of the cross, there is forgiveness. The message of the cross, there is oneness in Christ. If the preaching of the gospel means separation, if the preaching of the gospel means speaking against one another, if the preaching of the gospel means speaking wrong about one another, then we have missed the mark and we are people to be most pitied. We need to seek Christ now like we've never done before. There could be 100 churches that are going to pop out of every square foot. And that is fine. Because the preaching of the gospel must continue. The preaching of the gospel must go on. The question today is, what are you doing with that gospel? That message of the cross that you're receiving every day, every Sunday, on your radios, on the televisions, from your friends, from your relatives, from wherever you get that message. What are you doing with that message of the cross? I don't know about you, but there is one thing that I know. That soon and very soon the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. And I know that when that trumpet sounds, I know that my name will be written there. Because I know how I've served Christ. I know how I've lived my life. I'm not standing before you to say that I'm perfect. I'm standing before you and saying that I'm the most imperfect person. But there is one thing that I do know. That if I go to the cross and I tell God I have sinned, God I have done wrong, forgive me, he does. I'm inviting you, children of God, not to see yourself as perfect. God did not create angels. You are not angels. You are capable of failing and falling short of His glory. But I'm asking you today and inviting you, do not remain in that situation. Rise up and go to the cross and tell Christ, I have sinned again. I fell one more time. Please forgive me. Find in your place to forgive me, and He will forgive you. And that confession makes your name remain in the book of life. Do you know why the writer of the historical books of David writes and says that David was a man after God's heart? Because every time he fell, he went back seeking after God. Again, I have fallen short. Again, I have fallen short of you, O God. Again, I have sinned. Do not beat yourself too much. You are not an angel. You are not an angel. You can sin, and God knows that because He's the one who wired you. But He says when that time comes, there is room for deliverance. There is room for hope. There is room for you to be forgiven. Praise the name of Jesus. If the preaching of the gospel is not about forgiveness, then we are doing nothing in the church. Then believing in God is nothing. It is useless and wasting time. But I come to church every Sunday after Sunday because I know no matter where I have passed through, no matter what I could have done and injured somebody, no matter what I could have thought, I know that the message of the cross means forgiveness. And I receive that forgiveness. I'm a recipient of that forgiveness. And so I'm telling you today, beloved, that this person standing in front of you is not perfect. But he is one who is forgiven. And I invite you today to look at yourself in the same way. Don't look at yourself beating yourself and feeling so sorrowful and wondering, you know, can God use me? Does God really care about me, a sinner so wretched like I? Yes, yes, He can. It's for that reason the message of the cross has remained powerful. It is for that reason that the preaching of the gospel has become so real, and that message does not change. As He delivered, as He forgave, He will deliver and forgive today. Woe unto us today, Pastor Tony, if we'll be preaching about how to get wealthy and how to make more money than telling people how to receive forgiveness from Christ. Because you may be the biggest millionaire. You all could be millionaires here and go to hell as millionaires. But I would rather go to heaven broke here but rich there. Praise the name of Jesus. The Christian message does not need to change. As I was thinking about this, and we're going to wind up this in a moment. As I was thinking about this, I realized that the reason the Christian message has changed is because we are so interested in seeing how many, what is the number, what is our budget, what is being met, what is not being met. So if we have more people, I'm not seeing more people going to heaven. I'm seeing more people filling the bank account. God forgive us. And I laugh, Pastor Tony, because this man, he has a tenacity. He never gives up. He never gives up. There are times, for those of you who have been in this church not too long, there are times that you have been much, much fewer than we are today. But this man will still come and open the church and worship like this church has 500 members. The preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the cross, the message, the Christian message, does not need to change because there are few people in the church. It remains the same. We must keep on preaching because I believe with all my heart that in this place it has been a preparation center. There are people who have received the message and they have gone on and they are preaching the gospel. Their faith has been refired, and that's why they are where they are today. So I don't feel discouraged, Pastor. When people move through here, they have been ministered to. We would love for them to stay, but maybe this was not their place. Wherever they are, that's where God has called them. If God has called us to be a preparation center, so be it. But the preaching of the gospel must not change. We must not change this gospel to say, let us, pastors, start preaching the way we can get more people so we can become like other churches do. Let us start preaching and doing miracles in the church. Let's just start doing some, you know, whatever they call them, you know, those miracles that people can come and see. Because seeing is believing, and people are duped into these things. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to be seen being in a church just because of what things are going on and they are unreal. I don't want to see a facade. I want an experience with the Master. Where does this leave us, dearly beloved? Where does this leave you and me? I don't care where you go. I wouldn't really care whom you listen to. But if that message you're listening to has been changed, I need to tell you, beloved, because I love you so very much, run. Run. Go to a place where the preaching of the gospel does not change. Go to the place where you're being taught about the message of the cross. The message that does not change. The message that has endured time and years of being preached by different people, by other nations, by other people we don't even remember. Church fathers, they have preached this message of the cross over and over again. And the reason it has remained consistent and real is because it does work. It does work. One preacher said that, take everything from me but leave me Jesus. Where does this leave you? It leaves you to be a person who you are going to be responsible for your own life. Don't depend on the pastor or your spouse to be the person to usher you into the presence of God. Be responsible for your own life. Because if I'm going to be responsible for your own life, for your life, I have so many things that I'm dealing with. I have a wife. I have 3 children. Now you'll be number 5, and maybe the others who came before you. So you'll probably be right there in the bottom. You are responsible for your own life. Our hope must remain on Christ and Christ alone. If this church was going to be because of members, it would not be. It would not be. And I say this with all my heart because I know the heart of Pastor Tony. He has been consistent in this place preaching the gospel. There is one time, I think, I can't remember which meeting this was, and I think we were barely a handful, and it was a revival meeting. And I told, you know what, Pastor? We came here for a revival meeting. We prepared for it. Let's have it like the church is full. And we did. And we did. If the preaching of the gospel is going to change because today I have worn a suit, or if the preaching of the gospel is going to change because today I came and preached in jeans, then we have missed the mark. The message, Christian message, must not change. Praise the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to encourage you to hold on to that which you are holding on, lest somebody else will grab what you are holding on, lest your hand slips off and it comes and holds to that place of the cross that you are holding on. Do not be duped, beloved. These are the last days. Do not be duped. These are the last days. I want to invite you to a moment of prayer. And if you're that person who feels that things have not worked right for you, and you feel that you have tried and tried, and no matter how you try, things have remained the same, I want to encourage you and tell you that Jesus did not remain in the grave. He arose. There is hope. There is hope in every situation. There is no situation that is permanent. They are all temporary. They are all temporary. And I want to keep your hope alive by holding you and encouraging you to hold to the Christian message. Because the Christian message means love, means hope. You cannot let your hope die. You cannot let your hope die. It doesn't matter what it is. You cannot let your hope die. I invite you for a moment of reflection. As you go through your mind and find out, what is this thing that has been troubling me? And as you reflect upon this Christian message that has remained the same, that has brought meaning to millions of others before us and millions of others after us, can it bring a difference to your life? What is it that you're so worried about? There is hope in the Christian message. Hallelujah.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
I invite you to sing that chorus one more time, and probably the first stanza, and allow that those words to minister to your spirit.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my throne is at last I lay down. old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Listen to the story now.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dear rest and best for a world of lost sinners was laid. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay. Exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown, and exchange it someday for a crown. Exchange it someday for a crown.
Thank you, Jesus. Only you know our hearts. Only you know the things that we struggle with. Only you know how much we need you today. Only you know, Lord, where we are in our spiritual lives. Today, Lord, we hold on to that old rugged cross. May it make a difference in our lives today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I feel so blessed. I feel so fired up. And I feel it's the right thing to do. Because that's what it means to be a Christian. Amen. I'd like to do a little segue to these. And I'd not really decided to do it this way, but this is how I want to do it. And then I'm going to ask Sister Purity to come, and if you want to start thinking of what you want to do, you're welcome. But I feel that I'd like to be the voice of Pastor Tony and Sister Kate, because sometimes it's almost impossible to be able to know what to say. In a church where you've preached every Sunday, you've been there every day. And I dare say that I can almost see the heart of Pastor Tony, because we've shared with him many challenges and many things that have gone through, you know, his heart and mind. But I believe that in the heart of Pastor Tony, the things that he may not be able to tell you, number one is that you'd like to say thank you. Thank you for standing with Pastor Tony. You didn't have to, but you've always been there. You'd have gone maybe to a church that is more vibrant. Maybe there is more action. There is, everything that everybody wants to see in a flamboyant church. But you've chosen Sunday after Sunday to come to Empowerment Christian Center because you believe in this man and his wife, Kate. And I believe that from the depths of his heart, if he was to be able to say something, you say, thank you. He'd want to come to every one of you, give you a hug and say, you know, empowerment could not have been the same without you. And I know without a doubt that you matter. You matter to ECC and you matter to the pastor. I know sometimes things may be busy and sometimes things don't happen the way you'd like them to happen. And humanly speaking, sometimes we complain, and that's okay, that's okay. But still, in the heart of this man, I know the passion that he has for this church. I do know the passion that he has for this church. There is never a time that we have sat together and talked about anything else other than Empowerment Christian Center. There's one man, he was a missionary in India, and as he preached his last sermon, he collapsed. He was about 75 years of age, and he collapsed in the pulpit. And his helpers would come and help him and say, you know, Pastor, just sit down. Somebody else would come and she's, and you'd come and say, no, I haven't finished the sermon. And you'd struggle. And in his state, you'd still preach his sermon in that weak, frail frame of a body. And I see that man in Pastor Tony. If this man, tell me when to stop, but if this man, if this man was to ever give up, I don't know where we'd be. I think, you know, if there is anybody, in fact, I was talking to my wife yesterday and we were saying that, you know, he's so soft. He's so easy to deal with. You know, you tell him anything, you'll say, okay, it's okay. You know, you can actually do something against him and you'll say, it's okay, I understand. And sometimes in my heart, I'm saying, no, you don't. No, you don't. But I guess that's what pastors are. So on behalf of the pastor, thank you. Thank you for being there. And I can say this again. It is not about the Benjamin Franklins. It's not about the dollars. It's about changed lives. It's about people and their spiritual lives being changed. That is what his heart is all about. That is what Pastor Tony and Kate's heart is all about. A difference in our lives. That we can bring a difference in the heart of somebody else. That I cannot just change you, but also change somebody else. That I can only, not only empower you, but empower somebody else. That is what I know Pastor Tony. If you know him differently, I don't know. That's the only way that I know. So on behalf of Pastor Tony and his wife, thank you very much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your being loyal. You've been very, very loyal. One time we were sharing and we are making fun. And you are saying that, you know, ECCians are diehards. You know, you are a diehard. I mean, if nobody ever told you you're a diehard, you are a diehard. You are a diehard because you pass so many churches, you know, to come to this church. There are people who live in Wiley, Arlington, McKinney, and other utmost parts of this Texas. You pass so many churches, you are a diehard. And because of your loyalty, I believe with all my heart there is a plan that God has for you. I don't think God works, you know, does things or allows you to do something for nothing. And to just do it because it is a habit. There is a plan. God akona plan. God has a plan for you. And I'm telling you, after it's all done, you look back and say, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. So thank you for being a diehard. Thank you for being so loyal. And thank you for being there. Because if you were not there, there would be nobody. Sister Purity.
Hey, we missed you. Hey, you didn't come to church today. You should have come. Oh, okay. Wow, you should have seen Sister Charity. My goodness, she had a blue dress, blue purse. Hey, you should start coming to church. Because when you fail to come to church, you start getting sick, you start getting problems. Anyway, we had a visiting speaker. And it was Pastor Julius. Hey, he preached and sang. Eh, I tell you. Anyway, bye. There's another call coming. Bye. Oh. Hey. First Lady Purity. Oh, Pastor is not here. You're sick? So what do you want? Well, you know, like a First Lady, it's really raining outside. And just pray. Or just maybe we can see you in church on Sunday and we can pray for you. But I'll tell Pastor to pray for you anyway. Mm. Okay, bye. Hey, Wamboi. I'm telling you, you should see my toenails. I just got a pedicure. Even pastors' wives get pedicures, my dear. Oh, okay. She said that? No. Anyway, we'll talk. There's another call coming. These church people, just because we are pastors, it doesn't mean we don't have anything else to do. Even as we have families. Hey, being a pastor's wife is hard. Collins! Claire! Collins! Hello. Pastor is not here, but praise God. Okay, we'll talk. Bye. These people, they need to know how to pray for themselves. Anyway. Pastor Ben. Oh.
My dear sister, my sister Purity.
Yes. Karibu. You're late.
I got a puncture when I left here.
And please, next time, don't leave your phone because there are so many people from church calling.
Can't you say hello first?
Hello. Collins, make some tea for your father. Sema, you sit.
Now, I thought Collins has homework. Why don't you do the tea yourself?
You know, we have to teach these American kids how to cook. Collins, that tea should have been here by now.
I don't like the way you talk to the children.
Well, you're a pastor, but you know, you have to have grace. Me, I'm tired. You know, so many people called, and it's late, and they just call so much. Man, I didn't know that this is how it was going to be, just being a pastor's wife.
It is your job. I told you, remember? Remember before we got married?
Yes.
I told you what it would mean, being a first lady.
But, hey, it's too hard. Anyway, two things. Akina Mike, they're fighting again.
Again?
Yes. Can you do something? Let's send them to some counseling or something. And then, sister, what's her name? The one who sits on the second side. The one she's expecting, so
again.
That one you have to, yes. You know that one she says that she wants you to go to their house. They're having problems. That one you have to go because, you know, at this point they are very sensitive. So if you don't go, they'll be upset. They'll leave church. So please, maybe tomorrow you can do that.
You know, if they spend more time in church, maybe okay. They would have fewer children.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes. And you know, they haven't even, some of these people, they are not even coming to church. But when they have problems, now that is when they call. They don't come for Bible study. They don't come for prayers. They don't come for anything. Me, I'm telling you, if they keep doing like this, you know, we'll just spend our lives visiting their house and praying for them and Sijui lifting them up. Me, I don't think we are called for this. Me, this pastor thing is, it's really, really, it's tiring. And
I think what we will do, we will not go today.
Yes.
And when
I actually didn't want to go, yeah.
Yeah, when they don't see us, maybe they'll come to church next Sunday.
Yes.
Right?
I think so. You know what? There's a movie.
Hey.
There's actually a movie that has come up.
Oh, which one is this?
I don't know, but okay. It's produced by Oprah. Maybe we can go catch a movie. Because all that stress of our people, it's just wearing me out. And I'm not a happy wife. But maybe the movie will make me a little bit happy. So what do you think?
Should we stop by their house on the way to the movie, maybe?
No, you know, by the time they make tea, the movie will be over.
Really?
So now and then, you know, by the time we pray. And you know, these people don't believe in short prayers. We have to pray for a long time. And so, let's just go to the movie. We'll see them on Sunday, don't you think?
And if they don't,
high five, Pastor Ben. Yes.
I'm glad I
anyway.
Yeah.
Let's go to the movie. I actually don't need a jacket. You know why? Because I want to look cool without a jacket. Praise the Lord. You don't want Pastor Ben and Pastor Purity to be your pastors. This is something Ben and I thought this morning, just to break the ice from the preaching to where we honor our pastor. Amen. You know, there's nothing as good as when you have a gracious pastor and a gracious first lady. And Pastor Ben and I are not. So you should be grateful that we are not your pastors, and it is Pastor Tony and Pastor Kate. And we really, really love them, and we appreciate them. And that's why we are here. This is the climax of this service. So we want to just, first of all, to thank God for them. And we want to honor God for them, but also just to be a blessing to them. This is how we are going to do it. By the way, did you enjoy our skit? Do you want to see more of it? Amen. We can do more anytime there is appreciation. We can even come and do it in your house. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Julius, for that wonderful message. Amen. At the end of the day, the message of the cross is still relevant. Amen. And we thank God for that. So this is how we're going to do. We're not going to embarrass you. We know that you know how to appreciate Pastor. And this is not the first time you're doing it. A lot of people have gone to their houses, appreciated them day in, day out. More than that, I know that you pray for them. Amen. So we're going to ask them to come and sit here in front. It's the only time they do that. Julius, if you can usher them. They're going to come and sit here in front, and you can bring whatever you brought to them. And unless you brought the car outside there, just don't drive it in. But anything else can go. Amen. Why are you laughing like there is no car outside there? There is a car outside there. What is faith? Faith is believing in the things that you do not see. Just because you don't see the car, it doesn't mean that it's not there. So we're here to appreciate them. And I thank God for them. So when you come, if you want to say something very brief, it has to be less than a minute. We'll let you do that. Let me first of all start with saying, I always remember a couple of years ago, Ben didn't have a job. I had a job, and we weren't doing so good, and we were as broke as people can be. And out of nowhere, on a Friday evening, we are catching a movie on TV, and we hear the doorbell ring. And in comes Pastor and Sister Catherine. And let me tell you, these people brought so much groceries for me and my family. Look at Pastor, he's embarrassed. But to me, that has always remained. You know, when someone comes and meets a need, especially a need that you did not even share, there's nothing as good as that. So I really, really thank God for you on that day. You saved. To tell you the truth, we didn't have tide. These people brought the biggest tides, you know. Soap, cabbage, every little thing that you can think. And for me, that has always been such a moment. And Pastor Tony, my family, and I love you so much. We appreciate you, and we love you, and we thank God for you. Anyway, so who is the most brave person to be the first? Please, it has to be less than a minute. That way we can get everybody. Amen. So you're welcome. Less than 1 minute. Amen.
This man of God and woman of God, we appreciate you so much, as we have said more time and again, me and Julius and my family, we are more than friends. And as we come here every day, we know we come here because we know what we get from this church. We had a choice to go to many churches, but we come here first of all because of your friendship, because of your heart, and because of your generosity. And for this, may God enrich you and bless you in all the days of your life. And we love you, we love you, we love you as a family. Thank you.
Hey, Pastor, Senior Pastor, and First Lady, you're wonderful people. I've walked up and down. I've gone to different churches. And some, I would say, they were mega. They were bigger than these ones. And well-to-do people. But I decided to come and I sit and listen unto you people. I've passed so many churches from my house to this place. But may I say, you are wonderful. You don't know, but you are wonderful. You have touched many. And may the Lord bless you. It's just a small token. And even the Kikuyu say, onakone kifugo. Amen. God bless you. Yeah.
God bless you. God bless you.
Asante ni sana. Mimi nasema asante. Mungu wabariki. I know every time I call, there's something, but I just say thank you for listening to me, taking me as your son, just the way you say, son, just have faith, everything will be okay. God bless you. Leah, hey, kwani umeka huko nyuma? Tukiwa na bibi yangu, nasema asante sana na Mungu awabariki. I'll not waste a lot of time. 1 minute each.
Amen.
Pastor Tony and Catherine, we thank God for you. You've been part and parcel of our family for the last 15 years. And as it has been said, we passed many places. We could go to any church. But Purity and I, over the years, we were looking for a church where we had we could get a sincere pastor who is pure in as far as the eye can see, and who just wanted to praise God and lead the flock to heaven. And over time, we still believe that you two are the purest of the preachers that we have come across. You mean what you say, and we see it in practice, and we pray for you and your children. And just knowing that you're raising a young family and you still have time to do what you do to this church, God bless you. And your effort is not in vain. Your prayers really have worked in our lives, and we pray that God continues to strengthen you and to give you the energy and the means to take this church to the next step.
Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you.
Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Amen. Why are you smiling, Pastor? Yeah, I want to thank the Lord for this man of God. He's been a good friend to me. I know sometimes you all don't see me, but Pastor is on my tail every time. The other day, he just got me in my kitchen and told me, "Today I'm meeting Gima in this house." It's a time my husband was not feeling okay. And I didn't even know that the pastor was there. I just heard somebody talking behind me in my kitchen. And I just want to thank the Lord for the man of God. He's been a good and a friend to our family. He has been a spiritual dad to me, and I thank God for our first lady too. God bless you so much, and we love you dearly.
Okay, Pastor and Catherine, thank you so much. I cannot express our gratitude I don't know what to say. I just want to say thank you, thank you, and thank you again. God bless you always and abundantly. Thank you. And these ones are presents for... I asked my children, I told them we're having a pastor's appreciation. So Eliana said I should get you flowers. So I got what she said. And then pastor, it's... I would not say what is in here, but it's from Jaden. So God bless you.
Amen and amen.
Pastor Kate and Kathy, I mean, this would end up to be a sermon if it was to thank you for the bottom of our hearts for what you've been. What is it, 3-4 years ago when we came here? A single man officiated our wedding at the bedside for our first kid. Throw us through my paper. I mean, every milestone in our lives, you've been there. In 4 years, we can't believe where we are at. We cannot thank you enough. And our families are a work in progress, and God is using the two of you mightily to construct. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you to Mom for praying through us. If there's one woman who prays, it's Mom. And we know if we are going to heaven through prayers, this whole church is surely going to heaven through Mom's prayers. And Pastor, we thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for being there and for interceding for this church. I know we are not many, but we are blessed. We are one family, united, and this is what I love this about this church. It could not have been the same if it was not for your leadership. So we love you, and we appreciate both of you so, so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Love you.
Oh. Enjoy your trip to Hawaii.
Oh. No crying.
Papa and Mom, we would like to appreciate the Lord for you. We thank God for what you mean to us and to the whole family, the ECC family, for being that spiritual covering over our lives. You know, we know you call and you mention us in your prayers, and we know God is doing a new thing in our lives, and we just wanted to say thank you. And to let you know in a very just a little way, and even here in the midst of the church, that you are very appreciated and we love you very much. Thank you so much.
Pastor Keith, let me first of all shake your hand and say thank you. Give you a hug. Thank you so much. We know we are not here to preach, but we appreciate the pastor. It's not long since I joined you. And we didn't join you because you come from Kenya. We didn't join you just because you are another pastor. We joined you because you have a vision for the church. And the church is not only the building which is here, the church is our hearts. The pastor moved us that we felt our hearts should be enriched, be tended by you. And I know this comes to most of you, that you came here because the pastor is going there to pastor you, to pastor your hearts, not to pastor the church. Even the big mega churches, they started small. Rome was not built in a day. This church will grow big. This church will be so full one time that we'll be looking for chairs to put on the side. Amen? Pastor, may the Lord bless you. Kate, may the Lord bless you. And we know greater things are yet to come. Amen? Amen.
By the way, we really do appreciate your patience. After this, there is something great that Alice, Mama Maya, is doing for us. Amen? So, just hang in there. But please make it 1 minute or less so that we can have everybody say something.
It's because you see me, eh?
I love you, Pastor.
All right. Well, I don't know where to start. But to me, you know, you don't understand divine connections unless you see it. The way we joined this church, for those who do not know, is through our children. I used to pastor a church. Something happened. I couldn't. We were even meeting in my house. But through Israel, Israel is the one who brought Nathan to this church. Nathan brought a sister, Esther. Lo and behold, JJ was here. Until one day I was with my wife, we were wondering why. You know, these kids, they first go to another church, then come and join us in the afternoon. After some time, I didn't know. He was also inquiring, who is the father of these kids? Until one day, Israel and Nathan, they dragged me here. I came. My wife the following week joined me. Since that, God has made a friend for us in Pastor Tony and Pastor Katie. And like my sister Purity said, there is a lot they've done for us. I can't just, you know, go on and start to count. Oh, I would say on behalf of my family, you are Christians, okay? You understand the cross. And may God continue to bless you and extend the tent of your ministry. In the name of Jesus, that's what I would say. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't know what to say about Pastor Tony. He's a lot. Pastor Julius said something that carries this man of God. I've known him about 30 years. We were bachelors. I remember praying for a wife. And then I told him, when a wife comes, you tell us to say hallelujah. Now we stop praying. And the wife came. Amen. 30 years ago, we were bachelors. And the time for him to marry came. He said, he told his buddies, hey, amen, go to your knees. And then he told him, don't let her stay there long. When he found her, he said, come on, raise up your hands and say hallelujah. Amen. So Pastor Tony has been a good friend of mine for 30 years. He won the green card. He came here first. And I want to say what Julius said about his heart. Afterwards, 5 or 8 years, we two won our green card. We came here in America, but we went to Austin, where my cousin stays. In Austin, Pastor Tony heard that we are staying outside the town. So Pastor Tony and Kate, they rented a car. They came to Austin. They told my cousin, we're going to pick my buddy and the wife. And we had one daughter with them. So they picked us from Austin. They brought us here in Arlington for 2 weeks. Can you see the heart of this man now? Hallelujah. For 2 weeks. And then in that 2 weeks, they gave us a car. Amen. They gave us a car. And they took us a place now for our rent, to rent our place. And then we continued. I want to say that is how Pastor Tony is. We came from all that place. He rented a car. He comes here. He gives us a car. All those 30 years, he has been my buddy. Now he's my pastor, although Evangelist Werimo said the other day, pastors should not be buddies to the other. Amen. So we thank God for it, and God bless you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay, for me, I'd like to thank Pastor and Pastor Catherine. For us, it's a story that touched us through love. So first, when we came here, we came here for our pre-wedding. Previously, we were not members of this church, but they allowed us to have our pre-wedding here, and we didn't have like a church that we were going to, so they agreed to do a premarital counseling for us, not because of what we had brought here, but they did this out of love. So we were touched by your love, and through that, we were able to come here. And the same love touched my sister Leah, and the same love touched her friend Mama Shiko, and the same love touched Mama Maya, and the same love touched Monica. So it's the same love that we want to appreciate. And I want to thank God for you and tell you that from the bottom of our hearts, me and my husband, we really appreciate you, and we thank God for you, and we are thrilled to have you as our pastor and our first lady. God bless you.
To me, I want to add just a little bit. I would say you are a great role model for us all. And God bless you more. Yes.
Amen. You all know Pastor Julius here. He's very disciplined, and he's like, can we make it faster? So please, please, 30 seconds or less. Thank you.
Pastor Tony and Pastor Catherine, I'm standing here on behalf of my family. My husband couldn't be here today, but I just wanted to thank you so much for being our pastor, for being the spiritual covering over us. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for everything that you've done for us, especially for me. I will say I joined the church after my husband, and you took me in. You accepted me as a daughter. You showed so much love to us. And even when it was time for counseling, you were there for us. You made time to meet in our apartment. We don't take those things for granted. Thank you so much. And I would have to say one thing I love about working with you is just your humility. It's easy to get access to you. It's easy to talk to you. I understand protocol, but at the same time, I just appreciate that you're just you. And the love that you show. And that love, it permeates to the rest of the church. Because that's one thing I can say about this church. This is a church of love. I've experienced a lot of love in this church. So I just want to thank God for you. And I thank God for what he's doing in your life. I know the best is yet to come. God bless you.
Pastor Tony and First Lady Kate, we really, I don't know whether we can even summarize it in 1 minute, but we really, really appreciate you from the bottom of our hearts. From the time we joined this church, you love, the love we found is still there today. And it takes humility to sustain it that long. We are thankful for you, for your guidance, the foundation that you've given us here in this church, and that you keep the things that you keep adding to this church to make it a better place. We feel like we're just beginning. We're just beginning. Good things are yet to come. Both of you make it so easy for everybody. I know we're supposed to treat you like pastors, but I feel like you're friends first and foremost. So it's so easy to talk to you, to come to you with any problem that we have. And for that, we're thankful. And I think it's the same message with the kids too. Because I remember the other day we went to visit Houston, and we told Jada that we're going to go to a church. But her first reaction was, can we go to my church first and then we can go there later? You know, not realizing she's in Houston. But, you know, that's the kind of love even the kids have for you. I wouldn't mention a name, but there was a time we were outside there, and I told Jada, I'm not going to say which pastor passed by. I said, can you say hi to pastor? And she looked at him and said, no, that's not pastor. She only knows one pastor. She knows Pastor Tony is her pastor. So thank you so much.
All right, next. By the way, we're just going to cut down the fellowship time. So we're doing good. This is important for us. Amen. But still make it 30 seconds.
Pastor Tony, Pastor Kate, on behalf of my wife, Regina, and I, would like first of all to thank you. To thank you for the good work that you're doing. And also say this to church. The reason you don't see so many people here is because we are growing roots. We are growing what? Like a bamboo tree. It takes almost 5 years to grow what? Roots. And then when it rises, it goes and towers above everything else. I remember 7 years ago, Pastor, I came to you with a special need. You did not turn me down. You did not even consider it done. We are who we are because of that gesture. Tumpigieni makofi hapo. Another thing, through this church, what's the name of the church? We've been empowered. We've been empowered. And through some members of this church, and I'll mention their names, Fine and Sam, we formed some very strong bond. So through this church, it was the divine connection that we needed, and others. May God bless you, and we'll always be friends of this church. Thank you so much.
Are you... She's like, I'm about to go back to the kitchen.
Praise God, church. Oh, Pastor Tony and Pastor Catherine, I got no words to say, and I thank the Lord being in this church. So much has happened in my life since I came to this church. I went around looking for a church until I gave up, and I told Leah, I gave up on these Kenyan churches until Leah invited me here with Wanganga. I can thank them enough, because when I came here, I didn't feel new. I didn't feel any discomfort. I felt welcomed. I felt loved. And that's why I appreciate you being my pastor.
Praise God. Praise God again. I thank God for this time that He has given us. I thank God for even this opportunity He has given us as a family to be part of this church. Since this church started, the first day we came to empowerment, and we cannot regret, because God has done wonders even in our life. We have come to love God even more. And all our kids are being born in this church. This family also have been like our family, because there's connection that was born even in Kenya. I've come to be their sister. I have no words, because I talked to Tony's mom even more. They talked, but it's through God. It's not anything about us. So we thank you. We honor you. And may God take us places that we have never dreamed of. Amen.
beautiful. Who is next? I think Mrs. Kimoto.
Amen. Well, a lot have been seen about Pastor and Mom. But for me, Pastor, I can confess and say he's more than a pastor. He is the father. The father of the church and a father who loves his children. We do spend a lot of time with the pastor here in the church, in the presence of God, seeking the face of God, day and night. And beside what the Bible says about David, a man after God's heart, I believe with all my heart that these people, they are people who are after God's heart. And I can tell you, whoever you are, whatever you are going through, you have a person who is always tarrying in the presence of God, praying for you. And the glory that you see here is not just something which is happening. It's something, or is there somebody behind the curtain who is paying the cost for that glory, and that is Pastor and his wife. And my prayer is, may God keep on lifting you up and releasing that spirit of prayer to be more in your life, because that is the one that's going to take us to higher places. God bless you so much. You have been an inspiring unto my life, and you have made me to continue to love God even more. And may God do you good. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I just want to say, I hope I can say this in 30 seconds, but they're almost over. But I want to say this. It's I've been in Dallas 2 years now. The first year I came, I was introduced to this church by a friend of ours. And then I was in the fellowship for the first year, and you know, I was coming to have a change of my life from where I lived in Boston. And life was good and everything. And then something started happening. I lost one of my parents in the first year I was here. And I was so touched by the love that I received from the church led by the pastor. And then the second year, that was last year, it's like the hell now even fell on my family and I. We were going through a lot, and maybe we might not, you know, have expressly told you, but I was going through like things that I had not gone for the years that I was in America. I didn't attend church for 1 year, whole year. In fact, most people forgot about me. I remember when I came, I was being told to write about my story again, where I have come from, and you know, yeah, all that story. But to cut the story short, when I was out there, pastor called me several times. He didn't call me to reprimand me, to ask why I didn't come to church. He called me, I can remember his words, we haven't seen you for a while. I hope you and your family are doing good. If you have any need or any problem, could you address it to us and we'll help you? I told him, okay. A few of the things that were going on is that my wife was in school, but there are other things that was going on. He understood that, which I told him. And they prayed for us. And then the worst happened. I lost my parent, my dad, just sometime in October. And you know, when you've not been in church, that is the hardest thing to handle. I called pastor. I didn't know what he would say. And he never showed that. He never, you know, portrayed any idea that this person has never been in church for 1 year. In fact, the way he handled it, I know he came to my house with a few brothers and sisters, and we had a fellowship. And at no time did he portray to me that I am one person that has been out from the church. I'm not a member of the church. I was a member according to him, and he really took it to his heart to do what he needed to do as a pastor. One thing I would say, Pastor Julius was talking when he was preaching. If it were for money and for everything, I don't think I would be in this church, because for 1 year, I didn't bring a penny in the church. If it were for money, it was not for money. It's because Pastor loved me and my family. And since then, I have always known that if I was to look up upon somebody other than God, Pastor would be the person I would look up upon, because he's a very important person. Another thing, during that experience, Purity. I have known many men of God. When they're in the pulpit, they will tell you about the many important, heavy stuff that have happened to them in terms of blessings and all that. When I lost my dad, he shared a story, very personal story, about his experience with his brother. I'll never forget about that, because he's a pastor, and he told me and he's sharing this to me. And I think that thing touched me, because I saw how related the issue of that experience of losing his brother. I don't know, maybe I shared with you, but personally, that was a great, I would say, experience that was shared to me by a person that I wouldn't have expected to be talking to me about that things. I don't know about you, but to me that was an impact. And I thank you, Pastor, because that experience helped me and gave me the strength to stand. God bless you.
Praise God. God is good all the time, and I give God all the glory. Pastor and Pastor Catherine, I don't even have what to say, because you have been so good, praying for us, reflecting God's love. As every time somebody's called you, I have a need, you always there. Like when Jesus was called, somebody is sick, Jesus was not having any excuse. So I don't have words to say, but I remember there was a time I came here with my nephew, and my sister was not feeling well. And when I called the pastor, he was busy here. He was fixing a room for the Sunday school, and the pastor was there. We came here, we prayed. I was not driving a car. I was so kind of scared. I was just going the bus, leaving my car there. And I remember that day when I came, pastor prayed. And my nephew was so discouraged, because he was just saying, "Auntie, you are telling me I'm going to get a job. I don't have any experience." So the pastor prayed that day. I remember my nephew got a good job. Even up to now, he's still working. I was kind of scared of driving. I would just say, "Is there a day will come when I'll be driving in the middle of the road?" So nowadays, whenever I say, "God is good," and it's me who's driving a car. My sisters was healed. Some other needs were met. So, Pastor, thank you. God bless you. I don't even know what to say. May the face of God shine upon you with your wife. Whatever come on your way, may God hear your prayer.